take our hymnals and turn to 451. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Page 451. Let's all stand, shall we? Page 451.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely, he did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
On the second,
all my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared.
On the last,
every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love, but I'll never know just why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed peace above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me.
Amen. Amen.
That's good. Pray with me, would you? Heavenly Father, thank you. When we were without strength, you said Christ died for the ungodly. I don't know why, but I'm glad you did. And as the song says, no one ever cared for us like you. Lord, we need to worship you like that. We need to love you like that. Like you care for us when nobody else cares. And you can help us. You do, and you will. And we praise you. And Lord, tonight we want to make sure you get all the glory and all the praise. And bless our service. We need your blessing. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You could be seated.
Page 447. 447. All your anxiety.
Amen.
find peace at the mercy seat. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, lay it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus.
Amen. Songs ought to preach. And that song preaches. Man, that is good. That, and when I'm singing it, it's really good. Amen? Kinds of junk up here. This is a card from Lisa Sis, so you know. Dear church family, how do I put into words how much I appreciate all of you. You have prayed and sent cards to my sister for the last 2.5 years, and for Bob the last year. You've prayed for the extended family as well. They both have gone to be with the Lord, and still you pray for me and my family. Thank you is not enough for all you've done for me. The love and gifts you bestowed upon me shows what a wonderful church we have. I love every one of you, Lisa Sisk. So it's a card. We'll put that out. Make sure Amy gets that and displays that. You could see that and touch it. When you touch it, kind of gives you a, if you're looking for a, We'll be here Wednesday. I mean, Lord willing, right? Lord willing, the ushers are going to come. The quartet sung that song?
What?
All Your Anxiety?
I don't think so.
Seems like
we have.
You have?
We have. Sheree and I. We sang
it. Duet. Here at church?
Absolutely.
Would you do it again? That's one of my favorite songs.
We got another one tonight, so.
Sarah and I just played it last Sunday night.
Oh, yes,
and that too. Wow. That's a sign from God. Hey, powerful truth. Powerful truth. Take it to the mercy seat. We you know, we've got to get in the habit of going to God. We go to Facebook, we go to Twitter, go to the neighbor, we go to just, God knows what he's doing, hey?
Amen.
And people are people. So don't let anything get to you. Don't just be an encouragement to everyone you can and go to God and all that anxiety and care and stuff you're going through. If he made the world, look, this ought to be in the Bible. If he made the world, he can take care of your puny problems. So just take it to him. Yeah?
Yeah?
Lord, we pray tonight that Jesus will be lifted high and magnified, and Lord, that we'll be more diligent. You said men ought always to pray. You said pray without ceasing. And we need to do better at that. We need to take everything to you. We need to talk to you about it. In fact, you said sometimes you won't work because we need to fast and pray. So show us, Lord, how important that is. Thank you for this night. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that we can come to you. Thank you that you understand. Thank you that we can expect you to do something, either change our situation or change us. But you're going to change something. Thank you that you can do that. I pray, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
your hymnals once again and turn to 448. He giveth more grace. 448. Let's all stand, shall we? Seated. Joe and Cherie are coming to sing.
There's a wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder of sunrise I see.
Your anxiety, but we'll take it. They'll sing that next week. Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. If you would turn there. Hebrews chapter 12. Thanks, Sarah Brown. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're running a race, you know that, and we got to keep running. The devil would love nothing better than for us to slow down or stop. Can I get an amen? I don't want to have to ask for him. I mean, I shouldn't have to have a sign, right? The sign should say, calm down, not calm up. But we're running a race, are we not? We're running a race. We get tired, get exhausted, we get distracted. We have to be careful as we run, especially as we get older. Hebrews chapter 12, of course, very significant when it comes to our race. If you'll look at that chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3. He just told us about all these people that all they had, the whole chapter, Hebrews 11, all they had was faith. By faith. Remember what we talked about this morning? Noah, all he had, verse 7, Hebrews 11. Can we just back up a little bit? All he had was faith. He didn't have a lumber yard. Hey, wouldn't that be nice? They deliver it. Like this, my name's Noah, I need some wood. How much? Well, a couple truckloads. Right? No, he had to go out and cut his own lumber. But it says in Hebrews 11, by faith. He didn't see anything. And then it goes on. I think it's interesting. It hit me later. That verse says, Hebrews 11, 7, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So here he is, by faith. Hadn't seen rain. He hoped his boat will float. He didn't know. It says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. His preaching condemned the world. His preaching said, look, God is going to be right. And you know how many people said, Noah, you are nuts. You're crazy. There's people that think we're nuts. We're crazy. He condemned, it says there in verse 7, he condemned the world by his preaching, by what he did. He kept going. He didn't stop. Maybe his wife even said, this is making you older. Can you imagine building a boat when you're 400 years old? But it says in that verse that he condemned the world and became heir because he kept going, he didn't stop, of the righteousness which is by, and twice in that verse, it says by faith. That's how we live. That's how we run. We're not running for a prize now. We're running because we know that we'll be given a prize when we get there. By faith. And on it goes. Of course, it's talked about Abel and Enoch. And he goes on and talks about Abraham and Moses and mentions people. In the end of the chapter, he even mentions, this always strikes me. Poor Rahab. She never lost her title. I mean, I'm pretty sure, I'm not a biblical scholar, but I'm pretty sure that she gave up her business. But she's still labeled. But God wouldn't say, hey, that's okay, I understand you got to make money. No. That's how she was known. And by the way, God can save harlots. And he can save Ozzy Osbourne. and the Hulkster, Terry Bollea. Can you imagine going from Terry Bollea to Hulk Hogan, brother? And so it tells us that verse 31 of Hebrews 11, by faith, the harlot Rahab. It's what she was. All of us used to be lost. We're not anymore, but we're sinners saved by grace. Prior to this, he said in verse 30, the walls of Jericho fell down. I love that story, by the way. And I don't like it because I had to be quiet. That whole part bothers me. I'm sure my wife is thinking, boy, if he had to walk around, they're saying to walk around that old city would take 30 minutes. So my wife is thinking, if he had to walk around that city and not say anything, that ain't going to work. So then you do that every day, and the last day you do it 7 times, and you don't say anything. I'm out. But they did it, it says, by faith. So he introduces chapter 12 with the word, because of that, or wherefore. They did it. In other words, I'm introducing what we're going to read. They ran. How'd they run? What made them run? What propelled them to do their best? Remember what he said in chapter 11? Look at verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. What a statement. They lived, that means they lived like there was God and nothing else mattered. Said they didn't receive the promise. But they ran anyways. Can I just tell you again? Keep running. Hey, keep running. I don't know who's going to tell you if I don't. In fact, say it to me too. Keep running. Doesn't take much to throw us off. We've developed thin skin. Everybody's, hey, something weird. Traverse City, a guy goes into Walmart. Knifes a bunch of people. 2 more people found this morning shot in South Bend. People aren't acting right. I mean, little stuff is setting them off. Don't be that way. Hey, just remember, if I make you mad, just remember, if I left when you made me mad, I would have been gone a long time ago. Is that fair? But I thought, I'll stay. Maybe they'll leave. No, I didn't say it. I'll stay. Why? Because we all do it. When you fail, I don't go, I can't believe they're not perfect. I mean, I do say that. And then I kind of catch myself and go, wait a minute. Verse 1, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing... You got to see it. You got to look at it. You got to realize what he's talking about. He said, I want you to see this. He said, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Boy, it is great, isn't it? See, you think Noah's watching us? Of course he is. Well, I don't have time to debate everything. But I do know I'm supposed to run. Whether they see me or not, I'm supposed to run. I mean, can you live with that? They're witnesses to what they saw. Maybe it means they're witnesses to what they saw. I'm supposed to be a witness to what I see, what I know, what my faith. Faith is the substance, he said in verse 1 of Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence. Just as real like I saw it. And the problem often is not with God, the problem is with me. He says in that chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, so we need it. And now he says there's this cloud of witnesses. They did it. Whether you think they see you or not. He said we have to do, verse 1, we have to do something. He said let us. We choose, let us. That means we choose it. He said, let us lay aside every weight. You've heard this. I've preached this. You've heard it. You've heard better preach it. You probably preach it, some of you women, and you preach it better than I'm going to preach it. But the point is, he said, there are things that will keep us from running like we should. Wait. I know he says sin, but focus now on weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, that weight, not W-E-I-G-H-T, weight, something that would slow, would keep you from running at full capacity. We lay aside, get rid of it, every weight. It might be what you think people think of you. That doesn't really matter. I'm not running for them. If I'm running for them, I've got a problem. I'm running for him. And so if I'm going to be weighted down, well, how will this look? What does God want? He wants me to do my best for him. He wants me to believe him. Wherefore? Wherefore is pointing back chapter 11. Chapter 11, the entirety, mark every time, it says by faith or through faith. That's what it's about. I'm running by faith. I'm running because someday, not here, but someday, I'll be rewarded. So he says, lay aside every weight and the sin. Sin, obviously. We're all sinners. You a sinner? You live with a sinner? Talking to the men. You live, some of you are just, you should dress more formally because that's a, we all sin. But that ruins our race. So we should hate sin. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily. Watch now. Doesn't take much. Doesn't take much to stop us. Hey, you've had your feelings hurt. Get over it. I have a picture in my house. It's a little boy. Some of you have seen it. I have it displayed. It's a little boy dressed like a cowboy crying. And it says, get over it. That's for Amy, not for me. I don't need that. You know that it doesn't take much to keep us from running our best. Not talking about running. He's talking about getting rid of anything that keeps you from running like you could. You see, in 1 Corinthians 3, when it talks about the judgment seat of Christ, he says that God will judge every man's work of what sort it is. In other words, what could you do? You may have gotten here, but God's saying, you know what? You lay aside that weight and sin, you could have been here. Say, man, this Christian life is tough. It is. Yeah, it is because it's God. Seeing where it comes about was so great. They did it. God came to Noah and said, build a boat. Noah didn't say, how long is it going to take? 120 years. Noah didn't say, that's all. Noah said, how long? 120 years. It's got to hold a lot of things. It's got to be big, got to float, got to withstand a storm. You got to preach to everybody while you're building it, and they're not going to like it, and they're not going to agree with you. I don't know if God told them that, but we know that the only people in the boat were Noah and his family. Nobody else got in. Nobody came to him and said, hey, you know what? I've been praying about this. I walk by here every day. I see this. They're talking about you. You might be right. I want in. Nobody. And yet, Noah kept going. Why? Because that's what God told him. He didn't get in the ark and say, man, we're the only ones here. What a loser I am. He did. Did he do what God told him? Yes, he did exactly what God told him to do. And he told everybody what, you know, this is what's going to happen. And you may not believe it, but when it starts raining and God shuts the door, or however he said it, then you all are going to be stuck. Well, take our chances. Have you had him say this? I'll just party in hell with my friends. No, you won't. You won't be able to see them because it's going to be dark there. And it'll be hot. And the only thing you'll be thinking about is not a party. You'll be thinking about one drop of water. But that, you know, it sounds cool. So the writer, whoever the writer is of Hebrews, says, seeing that they did it, seeing that it works. He said, we can't let anything weigh us down. We can't let sin trip us. He said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. All our races are different. My race is different than your race. But I still run it with patience. I still have to go, ugh. You know, a weight comes up, a sin comes up. I don't know what happened to you, but I sin. And then that messes up my race. Verse 2, he writes, isn't it great? Hey, you need to run. Get rid of the weights. Get rid of the sin. Be patient. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus. You're running for him. Not running for you. You're running for him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So our faith is all about him. Now, look at me. That was the Pharisees. Look at me. Listen to me. Don't do what I'm doing, but here's what I'm going to tell you what to do. He is, Jesus is, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him. Joy that was coming. There's no joy in death. There's no joy in crucifixion. There's no joy in being forsaken by God. But there's joy when you're resurrected from the dead. When he came alive, we all came alive. I mean, he did. He accomplished what we couldn't. And so now that God raised him and he's alive, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we're saved. Well, I don't agree with that. Tough. That's what the Bible says. I mean, that the Bible, it doesn't matter. Well, I learned from the Bible. The Bible says that Jesus came because we needed a Savior. I mean, we weren't here, but we are not, we're in trouble. So God sent his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave. That truth is always good. Don't get used to it. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, but you should love it. I know you know it. So Jesus has, verse 2, he has joy. He endures his cross. It's a shame. He despises shame. And now he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That means he's alive. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. The sinners there, I believe, are us. He had no sin. If you're God and you have no sin and you've never sinned and you can't sin, that's a contradiction. Paul said he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Wow. Verse 3 says, think of what he went through. Question. Not a hard question. Easy question. Could he have jumped down from the cross? Yeah, in a minute. Could he have called, I hate to be fancy, could he have called 10,000 angels? He could have called 10 trillion angels. I don't know how many there are. Don't get technical on me. Could he have saved himself? They said he saved others. Himself, he cannot save. It's not cannot, it was would not. Lest, verse 3, consider him who did that, who endured that, who went through that, who finished it, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Pray with me. Lord, help us to see this. Help us to walk away from here tonight and be thrilled and be more victorious as we run our race. Spirit of God, help me. I yield to you. Lord, I pray that we won't get distracted, that we'll just say, you know what? I need to run. I need to run. And God, if there's anything in the way of us running like we should, show it to us. If it's any weight, any sin, show it to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of people before us have run the race. We're not the first. I can't do this. Others have done it. I'm tired. Verse 3, lest you be wearied. Think of what Jesus went through. It's not worth it. No, it is worth it. Hey, chapter 11, the of whom the world was not worthy. Let's go here. In chapter 10, it all fits together, right? Bible's all one big unit. In chapter 10, go back there a minute. You ought to be close, a page or two. He said in chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Draw near to who? God. So if we all draw near to God, what does that do for each of us? It makes each of us stronger. He goes on, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, that literally means don't lean away from it. Lean into it. You know, don't hold back. Don't go at just, man, I'm going to live for God. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke. Provoke there means sharpen. To provoke unto love, loving who? God. If you love God, you'll love others, but you can love others and not love God. But if you love God like you should, you're going to love others. And the love there, the generation of that love, let us, he says, let us consider one another to provoke. I'm supposed to cause you to love God more. I hope there's a lot of people in my life that are gone that have provoked me to love God. I mean, I need you to do that. But thank God I had a lot of people, and I'm thankful I still have people in my life who provoke me to love God and good works to do right. So if they're watching, fine. But you and I are supposed to help each other in our race. We're supposed to be witnesses, right? Jesus said, you're my witnesses. He says in verse 25, Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting. That means, that's the same word. Exhort there is the word parakleo. Are you impressed? Is that worth a raise? It's the same word when Jesus described the Holy Spirit. Paraclete, parakleo, meaning call near. So we're supposed to be there for each other. Because it's hard to run alone. Come on, you can do it. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't get mad. Be patient. Hey, chapter 12, verse 1, let us run with patience. Be patient with people. Hey? People say things, they do things, you just got to stop and go, hold on. I do that to others. Don't give up the ship. Don't quit. I'm going to quit. Taking all my stuff and I'm going home. We're not here for people. Listen to this. We're not here for, we're here for God with people. If you quit coming because of people, you weren't here for the right reason. Say, well, I'm mad at you. I'm people. You're supposed to be here for God. And we're putting up that he uses the word forbear. Exactly what it means. Some of y'all, I wouldn't live like you're living, but you get to live however you want. My job is to help you run the race, your race. Exhorting, Hebrews 10, exhorting one another. My goal is to get you to love God and do what you're supposed to do. And do it the best you can. Because he's worth it. That has to be our purpose. Sometimes, but not often. Usually, I'm on a mission. When I walk, I'm on a mission. Everything I do is mission. I'm on a mission. Hey? I'm in it to win it. No matter what I do. Full speed ahead. Not halfway. Not good enough. And I think that you and I have to realize that if we're alive, God has a purpose. We don't get to say, I'm done. I'm going to retire. You can retire if you want. I'm just saying from the Christian life. I'm older. What's that have to do with anything? If you're alive, God has a purpose for your life. So, my goal, I have a goal. My goal, it's 10 till 7. My goal is to get you out of here in 2 hours. 7 o'clock. I know that's an impossibility, but there is a God. Okay? Two things, two thoughts. And here's where I'm going. I'm gonna push and shove you. So that you can do your best to run your race to win. I'm not just here to, keep running. That's not me. It's not my style. Number one. In order for us to run and win, I'm not impressed. Don't be impressed. Number one, lighten up. That's the weight. That doesn't mean some of you are stuffy, but it does mean that, but I'm not talking about that. He says in verse 1, lay aside every weight. Ow. Every. See every? Well, I got most of them. He didn't say most of them. He said every weight. So it means that you may have to get on your knees and say, God, I may be missing some weight. And I'm pretty sure God can find them. The only way we can run and win is to get rid of the stuff that keeps us from doing our best. In spite of what's going on, in spite of what people say, in spite of what you think, if there's something in my life that keeps me from running the best I can, I'm supposed to lay it down, get rid of it, lay aside, cast it off. You thinking of anything? I'm sending you a subliminal message. Hey, if I start naming stuff, here's a danger. Watch this. I don't have time because I'm already five down, five to go, minutes. I'm not going to write this, but I need you to stay up with me mentally and hear me. The whole thought in this verse is not to focus on the weight. It's to see it and get rid of it. Because if you go, here's typical Christian. Yeah, I just can't read my Bible. I just can't read my Bible. I just don't read my Bible. So all they're doing is focusing on what they can't do. You need to just say, boy, that is wrong. I need to read my Bible. But we focus on this stuff. And then remember the parable about the guy who swept his house? And then after he swept it, more demons came in than were there. That's because he didn't focus on the race, if you will. He didn't focus on the race. He focused on what he could do. Laying aside the weight is not to go, look what I did. You lay aside the weight so you can run. I need your brain. I need your brain. Just because you see it doesn't mean you lay it aside. People tell me, you know, I have this problem. Fine, lay it aside. We get, you know, that's worldly philosophy, that you focus on your sin. Do something for yourself. Lay it aside, start running. That's biblical theology. Don't allow, you know, how people talk and what you saw and what you heard. There are too many things that we don't think. We're talking about sin. We're talking about weight. Maybe not sinful, but we'll slow you down. That will distract you from running. Let's talk about sin a minute. I've got 3 minutes. If you, and lay aside the weight, and the sin. He makes it sound like there's just one. And maybe it is. I don't, there's a lot of sins I don't deal with. But there are some. Patience is one of them. He said, excuse me, weight can be harmless. Sin is not harmless. It'll kill you. James 1. Every man is tempted, drawn away. Lust conceived brings sin. Sin brings death. Sin, the devil will tell you, oh, it's okay, not hurting you. Sin is like a weight. Sin will keep us from doing our best. It will deceive us. It will trick us. Do you understand that? God wants full loyalty. Luke 14, verse 26, one of the most shocking verses in the Bible. If any man come to me and hate not, Father, you've read this verse, right? Hate his father, his mother, brother, sister, and his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. Wow. He's not asking you to do your best. He's asking you to do your best. Are you with me? Your definition of your best is not his definition of your best. Just go all out and don't focus. Look, you've got a sin. Here's what you do with it. If we confess our sin. But if we, 1 John 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. And then if we confess that sin, he'll forgive us. Number one, you got to lighten up. 1 minute, 1 minute. Number two. Lighten up, number one. Number two, look up. He said in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. You say, you've said that before. Yeah, it won't hurt to say it again. Look at what you need to do. Don't look at others. Look at Jesus. Others will distract you. They'll do things. They'll say things. Why are they doing that? Why are they acting that way? Why would they say that? Look away from them. Just like you laid aside weight and sin and look to Jesus. He's the only one that can help us run. Nobody else can help us run. He tells us in verse 3 that he died a shameful death on the cross because of the joy that would follow when he accomplished why he came. He knew that he could suffer because it would work. And he knows if we finish our race, it's because Jesus loved us. He's the author and finisher, verse 2, of our faith. It's all him. Keep your eyes on him. What would Jesus do? Yeah, what would Jesus do? Not what would others do. What would Billy Sunday do? What would Billy Graham do? But they're dead. God has a race. I'm not running anybody else's race. I'm running my race. I don't know. Listen, and I'm done. I'm going to go a minute over, and I'll give you money because I went over. I don't know. Just listen. I don't know how you're running your race right now. I know how I'm running mine. I do know that it's not too late for you to finish well. So we're going to have an invitation. You're going to say, man, Lord, I'm going to do it. I do know that it's not too late to get rid of your distractions. I'm distracted. Hey, and little stuff, dumb stuff, but it just distracts me. I do know that it's not too late. You're alive, you're breathing. I do know it's not too late to lay aside your weights and your sins. And I do know that it's not too late to keep your eyes on Jesus. You can do that. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray we would get rid of all the junk in our life, the weights, the distractions, and the sin that can, and it does easily, hold us up, sets us back. I don't want to do that. I want to go forward for you. I want to get to where you want me to get, and I want to get there when you want me to get there. I want to get my eyes on Jesus. I want to keep my eyes on Jesus. I want to get my eyes off of the distractions. I want to get my eyes off of the weights in my life. I just want to throw them down, not look at them, and run. And I want to get my eyes off of the sin that's in my life and get my eyes on Jesus and just run. You said, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. There are men and women and young people in this room sitting right now saying, boy, I see something. I'm going to lay that on the altar tonight. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to tell the Lord, I know it's a weight, might be a sin. God, there's a sin in my life. I'm going to put it on this altar. I'm going to leave it on this altar. And I'm going to get up, go to my seat, and I am going to run my race. Because that's what counts. The devil tells us our weights count and our sin count, but they don't. Our race counts. Looking unto Jesus. If we look unto Jesus, we'll more easily see our weight. And we'll more easily see our sin. Help us to see Jesus tonight, Lord. Help us to see you. Help us to have a clear view of you and what you want and who you are and what we ought to do and what we ought to lay aside, how we ought to run, how we ought to be. Challenge our hearts tonight. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. We'll start with this. Preacher, I know I need to run. And I'm not seeing it, but I'm willing. I am willing if God shows me a weight or two, if God shows me a sin or two, I'm willing to lay those aside. I want to run my race like he wants me to run my race. Not like I think I should. I want to run it like he wants me to. If that's you, your head bowed, your eyes closed. That's a decision I'm making tonight. Here's my hand. Here's my hand lifted high. Preacher, that's a decision. I need to make that decision in my life tonight. Lord Jesus, you do all you can. It's your word. You don't bless my words. You bless your words. So you take the words of God and you get them deep into our soul that it will drive us to say, I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do. I need to trust God just like Noah who built an ark or Moses who gave up the riches of Egypt. I need to run my race because it's God that matters. It's God that matters. Lord, help us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Piano's playing. You know the drill. As soon as you get up as she plays, you need to make a decision. I'm inviting you to the altar. I'm inviting you to the altar. Make this a place where you begin to run your race like you've never run it before. July 27, 2025. I laid something. Man, I'm going to run my race like I've never run it before. I need to run it like that's all that matters because that is all that matters. Run your race. Come on, come on. She's playing. You're standing. You're coming. Come on, come on. She'll play through. If you need another verse, hey, this is for you if you're saying, I wasn't going to come, but I'll come on this verse. Come on, come on. She's playing. God speak in your heart. Do what he says. Do what he says. Do what he says. He doesn't say, I suggest you lay it aside. He said, lay it aside. He said, others did it. You can do it. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Every weight, every weight, every weight. Make sure it's every weight. Say, preacher, that's tough. I know. Only God can do that. Make sure you get his help. Make sure you go to him and say, God, you know every weight in my life. Show me, I'll lay it aside. We're going to pray. Lord, I pray tonight that we will run our race like time is short. We don't know if it is. Seems like it is. We know Jesus could come at any time, that's for sure. He could come tonight. He could come in 100 years. We don't think that. You said in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. I just know I need to run my race. I just know that every weight in my life, the sin that besets me, needs to be let go of. I need to throw it down and run. I just need to run. I don't need to worry about anybody else. I need to look at Jesus. I don't need to look at anybody else running. I need to look at run my race, the race that's set before me. I need to run my race. I can't run anybody else's race. I can't really even learn from them. I can't help them. Only you can help me. Please help me. I want to run my race, knowing the joy that will await me in heaven as I run. Thank you. Thank you for every decision that was made tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.